Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Real Estate Pros. This is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management. I am your host, as always, Josh Cobb, and today we're going to be talking websites with one of the nicest and smartest guys I know in this area, Mr. Greg Taylor from Marketing Press. Greg is going to share with us the biggest problems people in real estate make when it comes to their website. He's going to share with us some examples of websites that really stand out in the real estate industry that you can go and check out yourself. And Greg will tell us what you can do to take your website from good to great. I know you're always looking for ways to stand out online, so you're going to really enjoy today's show. But before we catch up with Greg, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Beepo, helping businesses save money and be more efficient with specialised outsourcing solutions. Visit beepo.com.au and find out just how easy it is to set up your own trusted outsourcing team that helps take your business to the next level.
This week I'd like to tell you about a website called Quill Engage, spelt Q-U-I-L-L, Engage. And what this website does is analyse all of your website activity and sends you a report either each week or each month. You can decide how often you'd like to receive it. Now, if you've ever had those Google Analytics reports from your website developer and you have no idea what they mean, what all that information actually means for your business, well, this breaks down all of that complex information and delivers it to your inbox in narrative form and just plain English. So it's really, really easy to understand. We've been using it here at Steps for our clients for quite some time. They absolutely love it. It's a great free tool if you want to know how your site is performing. I encourage you to go and check it out at www.quillengage.com. Now, you might need a little help from your website developer to set it up for you, but it's well worth it. So with that, let's transition into this week's interview. I'm excited about today's show. We're going to be changing things up a little bit this week from our usual format, and we're going to be talking about websites with my good friend, all of the way from Tempe, Arizona in the United States, Mr. Greg Taylor. Greg is the founder of a company called Marketing Press, the very same team that built our website, in fact. Greg and the team at Marketing Press are passionate about WordPress development and content marketing. They approach websites like marketers, not developers, to improve conversions, community, and content. Greg, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a minute, tell us a little bit about you personally, and then give us an overview of Marketing Press.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show today. So Marketing Press started as a pivot from a company that I had that was a content marketing company. And what happened was a partner and I, who, aside from not getting along at the very end of things, we were publishing all of this content, and really good content. And we were publishing it on websites and platforms that really were bad. So we had no room to succeed. There was no way we were going to succeed. So when we divorced and we went our own separate ways, it was just logical for me to stay in the content game and to keep working with people, you know, with content strategy, but also then to build their site so that they would have the best opportunity to succeed. And that was about 5 years ago, and Marketing Press was born then. We made a strategic decision only to work on the WordPress platform because we felt that between our team and what we wanted to do, you know, as a company and our users and our clients we were working with, we wanted to make sure that our users and clients were as independent as possible while managing their own content and moving, you know, their marketing goals forward.
And with the WordPress platform, for some of our listeners who aren't up to speed with, I guess, what WordPress actually is, there's a lot of different platforms available to companies to build their websites on. Can you just help our listeners understand why you chose the WordPress platform and I guess the benefits behind that?
Sure, great question. So a couple of reasons we chose WordPress is one, at the time that we were developing it, it was the most intuitive and the easiest platform for somebody that wasn't a developer to work with. So, you know, you don't really need a developer to launch a WordPress site. You know, it's encouraged to have one, you know, that's strategic so that you can get something that really, really works for you. But we went with WordPress because the users can be independent of the developers. You know, back in the day when making websites, you know, if you had a zip code change or a postal change or area code change, you know, you'd have to call your web developer and they would say, okay, well, that'll be X amount of dollars in 3 weeks. Well, now, you know, with WordPress, you know, you can make content changes on the fly. It also allows you to pivot your content and alter your strategy, you know, as the market shifts and as your vision for your company shifts. The other reason that we chose WordPress is it's an open source software and there's a great community around it. So if we had questions about developing it, or, you know, other users had questions about, you know, there wasn't just one person to go to. There's tons and tons of, you know, the millions of people, you know, who use the platform who are more than happy to share their knowledge with you.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Well, how about we kick things off pretty generally, Greg? What do you think are the three biggest problems with websites today?
So I think that the three biggest problems with websites today are, one, there's not enough strategy involved before it gets launched. So I think that a lot of people concentrate on making things pretty and not making things work. So I always say that you can design to a strategy, but you can't strategize to a design.
Gotcha.
You know, so that's really, really important that once a strategy is in place, then you can, you know, start to really, really see what your business needs. The other thing, the second thing would be is that people don't know what their goals are of their site. You know, and I think that that's a shortcoming of a lot of business owners and a lot of other, you know, marketers and just users of sites that, you know, we always say that, you know, there's only three goals to achieve. It's conversion, content for a search, or building a community around your product, service, or brand. So I don't think that enough people pay attention to what their goals are. And then lastly, I think that, you know, a website in any industry is not a set it and forget it type of thing. So you can't just launch it and, you know, if you build it, they will come, does not work in the web world, and especially in 2014, 2015 and onward. So what you need to do is you need to make sure that you're always evolving, that you're always staying in front of, you know, search trends and content trends and making sure that you're positioned in the best light and, you know, your content isn't static for too long of a time.
If people can take anything out of what you've just said, you can design to a strategy, but you can't strategize to a design. So I think some people sometimes spend a little bit too much time on the how things look side of things, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I would add, if it's like a 1A or a 1B, is I think people wait too long to launch also. So I'm a big believer of get something done, get it out there, even, you know, at 90, 95%, get it out there. See how people are going to use it. See how people are going to work with your site. You know, people wait for the perfect moment and for perfection. And, you know, our company Marketing Press operates under the assumptions that perfection is the enemy of progress. You have to make sure that, you know, you're doing something. You know, I heard somebody say a long time ago at a keynote, and I wish I remembered who it was, it said, if you're not embarrassed of your first version of your product or your site, well, then you held on to it too long.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to put it out there and be embarrassed. And, you know, there's always, you know, iterations, and make sure that, you know, you're able to change it on the fly, you know, as things change, that, which is, you know, ties right back into the WordPress thing.
Right. No, I think it was the founder of LinkedIn, actually, that's one of my favorite quotes. I think that's,
oh, really?
Yeah. The name escapes me.
I'll have to write that.
Yeah.
I'll have to write that down and give him attribution, because I've been saying it a whole lot lately.
it's so true. And it relates, I think it was in one of our previous episodes, I think it was with Doug Driscoll from Star Partners here in Australia, that we were talking about the just getting out and trying new things. And I don't think it's just in relation to the website design, really, is it? It's about the content that the company is putting on their website, I think relates to that as well. If we can shift a little bit, change gears towards social media, what do you think the relationship between social media and someone's website should have?
So I think that, you know, in digital marketing and everything that we do, you know, we try to consider, we think of everything as a solar system, right? So the website is the sun and everything else around it is sort of the planets going all around. So what we want to do is, through social being one of the planets of the sun, we would want to always bring people back to the website and always make sure that we use social. We know our audience in social. And when we say we know our audience, your audience on Twitter is going to be very, very different than your audience on your Facebook page. And your audience on Instagram or Pinterest are going to be very different than your audience in LinkedIn, right? So the biggest thing that I make sure is, am I broadcasting the right content to those people in a way that they want to receive it? So I want to make sure that I'm always giving them what they want, you know, and in a timely fashion. And, you know, we don't wait too long after something hits our blog to push it out social. So that's our big broadcast tool. But we make sure that we change, you know, headlines and titles and images you know, throughout the different social networks so that it's better received, you know, from those people.
Right. So your goal at Marketing Press, I would assume with a lot of your clients that you're advising to, Greg, their goal is really for social to drive traffic back to the site using their content that's already on their website.
Yeah, absolutely. So they use it, you know, for a traffic tool. They also, you know, a lot of times we consider that a conversion point. If somebody clicks on the button on, you know, Facebook or whatnot, you know, we make sure that we have that tracked so that we know what they're clicking on so that we can give them more of what they want.
Right. Okay. And if you had to pick on real estate websites, is there anything else that you'd add to our industry specifically around some of the big problems with their websites?
So the number one thing that I see when somebody comes to me is they want the results that other realtors who have had success with their sites are having with their site, but they're not willing to put in the same amount of work in the content and, you know, and maybe even a financial investment that these people who are leading the industry have done. So case in point, you know, I work with a bunch of real estate guys, a bunch of realtors, and they all work extremely hard on publishing content. They work really, really hard making sure that, you know, they have newsletters. They make sure that, you know, their email newsletter is dialed in and it's branded, you know, and that stuff, you know, being a content producer myself for my own company and for clients, that stuff takes a lot of time. And if you're unwilling to put in that time, then there's no way you're going to see the same type of rewards. So that's the biggest thing that I always see, that people want extraordinary results with mediocre efforts.
Right. And if we could just break down for some of our listeners, I think the term content marketing is slowly creeping into the real estate industry. In other circles, it's been around for ever and a day. But I think for the real estate industry specifically, and I can speak for Australia specifically here, Greg, the term content marketing is starting to creep in. Can you explain for our listeners what content means?
Yeah, so content is anything on the web that's published, right? So we just keep it real simple. So content can be the written word in blog posts. You know, blog posts are a great way to show everybody that you're a subject matter expert on either a type of property or an area or, you know, a region, anything like that. You know, the other parts of content are podcasts like what we're doing now. This is a huge content, you know, photographs, images, social media marketing, all of that. Anytime you create something, whether it be video, photo, the written word, and you publish it out, that becomes a piece of content. So content marketing is, you know, the marketing discipline of publishing, you know, all those different mediums out there, kind of with your message and out there to help people so that you can, you know, again, exercise, you know, you and rise to the top as being, you know, a subject matter expert.
You shared with in our pre-chat a real estate agent in Tempe, in your hometown, around the rail line that was being built in around Tempe, Arizona. Can you explain that story for our listeners?
Sure. So I've found that, you know, I've been fortunate to work with a number of real estate agents here who really do understand what's going on and when it comes to publishing content. So one person that's a client of mine, Nick Bastian, saw ahead that they were putting this light rail train through our city and through the neighboring cities. So he developed a blog called raillife.com, and it's raillife.com. And what it does is it educates people about the different restaurants and the different areas that this train was going to run through. And all of a sudden, he became the local expert on what was going on around the rail. Now, the rail didn't pay him any money. He made money by selling properties. Well, whenever anybody, you know, was looking for a property that was along the rail or was close to a park or this or that, you know, who did they call? They called Nick, because he just saw the opportunity at, you know, producing content around something that was not related to real estate, but related to real estate at the same time, you know, and he was able to put his property listings, you know, and say, hey, here are great houses along the rail, or here are great houses, you know, next to Tempe Beach Park, or, you know, anything where this train ran through. It's fantastic.
And he's not just posting property listings on that site, is he? It's information about the local restaurants, the local attractions and community forums and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is like, if you looked at it, you wouldn't even know it's a real estate centric site. And you wouldn't even think it was a real estate lead generation tool. What it is it just talks about everything that happens along the light rail. It's a community. It talks about the community and the towns and the festivals and the events and the schools and, you know, the local sports teams that all have their stadiums right along this rail. And it's really, really helped him through the downturn of real estate here in the States that we experienced in the last couple of years. That's now back on an uptrend. But, you know, he was one of the guys who got through that because of his dedication to content when things were really good, right? When things were really good, he said, all right, I know that this is not going to last forever. What am I going to do when things, because it's cyclical, right? It shows whatever comes up, goes down, corrects itself. You know, what can I do to then make sure that, you know, I'm still, you know, positioned in the best way to keep doing what I do.
Right. No, I think I have had a look at it. It's a fantastic site. And I think for all of our listeners that are creating those community forums, I think the key there, Greg, is he's a great storyteller. And it's not about him. It's not about his company. He's telling stories about the people that he helps.
Yeah. And more than that, he's letting the people help themselves.
Right.
You think about it. I mean, he's just publishing a map that says these are the good restaurants along the light rail. It doesn't say that it's from Nick, or it doesn't say that it's from, you know, his real estate company. It just says, hey, if you want to find good places for a steak along the rail, here you go. And then, you know, by the way, if you look subtly, you know, there is information about him and why he's writing this. And, you know, there is a couple of disclosure pages on it. Because, you know, to make sure that he complies with, you know, the regulations, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's not about selling. It's about helping and educating and, you know, letting people discover towns and communities, you know, on their own. And when they fall in love with a city here, like I fell in love with Tempe living here now 18 years now. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's 18 years already. But, you know, when you really become attached to it. And you remember, you know, these people remember where they first learned about these communities, and they remember Nick, and they, you know, and I'm sure that people who buy houses from him, you know, buy two and three and refer their friends because of the experience all the way around.
And the key really with all of those stories and blog posts and anything that they're posting on their site, whether it's a community forum or, you know, raillife.com, there's not like a Trojan horse call to action at the end of the blog post saying, call me to buy a house or something like that, is it? It's just, it's giving out information without the expectation or a call to action at the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only thing he wants out of that is, I mean, you know, as from what you read in the blog post is, the only thing he wants out of that is he wants you to be able to take that article and do something with it. You know, discover different parts of the town or learn what's going on in our city and learn what's going on here and there. And it is, you know, it does practice, you know, the utility marketing method. It's utility before utility was probably even coined a phrase, you know, and it's awesome. And he does it better than anybody. You know, it's very, very funny. I get a lot of clients who will call me and say, how do I do exactly what he's doing? Right. And what I say to him is, well, are you willing to put in the time and the effort that he has? And when it goes silent, I know the answer.
Yeah, it's spot on. And I heard someone say the other day, I can't remember who said it, but they said not every business in the next 5 years is going to be doing content marketing, but every successful business will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, crazy, huh? Well, yeah. If we can shift gears a little bit, Greg, and the three biggest challenges every person working in real estate faces when marketing their services is either creating awareness of their brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty and advocacy of their current clients. How do you think people in real estate can overcome each of these challenges with their website?
So I think the first thing is everything that you do, you know, on a site, it needs to be branded in some way. Right. So I'm a big believer in branding, and, you know, I'm a big believer in personal branding. So people want to work with other people that they know, like, and trust, but that can also solve their problem. So through the branding, they're going to know, hopefully, like you and start to trust you. But now let's talk about solving their problem. So I want to make sure that there's always a lot of content on any site, and there should always be articles and testimonials and how have you helped other people solve similar problems. And the more that you can have your clients talk about you in a glowing light, the less you need to talk about yourself, right? So that's the biggest thing. And as far as generating leads, you know, that's the name of the game, right? That's why we're all in business, to generate leads, to work with more people, you know, to keep the wheels in motion. And I think that the best way to go about doing that is making sure that your call to actions are solid, making sure that you do some sort of split testing, A/B testing, you know, when it comes to messages, make sure that you're using the right message to the right people, and make sure that you're willing to dedicate time to go ahead and do whatever it takes to make your site successful.
Right. And do you think when you talk lead generation, how important is the placement of those call to action pieces of content on your website? Let's talk about a homepage, for example, on a website. In your opinion, what is the objective of the homepage of everyone's website, and what should it look like if we have a look at it as a bit of an overview?
So I can't speak for everyone's website, but I can speak in the real estate business. I could say for the real estate business, I think that the two things that you want to be able to do is have brand awareness, so people can recognize your logo, and then maybe when they come by and they see a sign out or, you know, any type of other collateral, they're going to identify the brand together. So it's a congruent experience. The other thing is, we want to make sure that if there's no clever call to action or anything like that, that's okay. We want to make sure that the person can easily get in touch with you. And the best way for someone to get in touch with you is going to be through the least amount of effort on that user. So we want to make sure that there's either a contact us button or the phone number is prominent, because I always say to a lot of people, you know, that we're sitting down to work with, I don't care if they come to your home page and they don't go any further. If they call you and contact you because they went to your home page, that's a win. Now it's on you. Now it's on you to get the sales in motion. So just make sure that, you know, good clear contact information, so that it's never confusing as to how somebody can get in touch with you.
Right. I think, you know, if I can speak for the real estate industry, the sites that a lot of businesses are putting out there, Greg, the first thing you see when you jump onto the website is their listings.
And you've
got to scroll down to either contact them, or you've got to go through about four other pages before you find out how they can help you as a home seller, not as a home buyer. And really, who are the ones employing the agents?
They have it in reverse.
Right.
They have it in reverse there. You know, you have to educate your clients first about how you can help them before they'll even look to see what you have. You know, like they want to know what you've done, what your track record is, what you're able to, why you're the expert, before they see where your listings are. Because if there's any type of, you know, there's nothing worse than wasting your time going down the wrong path, right? And I think that that's what they're setting themselves up for, that experience. And look, let's be honest with one another. Like, not every person who comes to your site is a client for you, right? So maybe that's not the perfect person for you to work with, or for that agent to be working with. So you can weed those people out right away because they don't like the personality of your brand or the services you offer, or, you know, any of that stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we're working with a client at the moment with their web developer on putting together their site. Traditionally is built the way I just described, with their property listings, and where we're shifting to now, their homepage, it's essentially got a photo, like the brand awareness that you spoke about. So it's got a photo of their team and a cool scroll bar with some vintage photos of back in the 1970s of their office. They've been around for a long time, and three call to action buttons right underneath that, clearly visible, that basically have lead generation for their home sellers, and lead generation for their landlords or their investors, so their property management department. And the last one is just some general information to help tenants and buyers of property. So they're covering all bases, and they're basically letting people self-select which path they want to go down. So that's their objective, right?
Yeah. What funnel do they, you know, do these people fall in?
Yeah, right. Right on their homepage. So rather than just shove it in their face.
If you put listings there, I mean, somebody who is a tenant may fall off because they're like, oh, well, this company can't help me because there's no information for me. I don't identify myself as being a client here. So, I mean, it's really, really important. And that, like, that goes back to, like, knowing, you know, the data, knowing who comes to your site. How do they use your site? What pages are most important? You know, where do people click? You know, all of that data, you know, we try to collect all of that data before we go in there and develop anything, because that's all part of our strategy. You know, and then once we have a strategy in place, then we let our designer go crazy and do what she has to do.
Put them to work, huh?
Yeah, then I put them to work.
And I think it's important as well when we talk about lead generation is not, it could be different for a lot of people. And again, it just comes back to the objectives, doesn't it? It doesn't have to be a box to say, let us sell your house or let us be your property management agent. It really comes back to that lead generation could be a downloadable infographic or ebook or something like that as a way of helping, but you're still capturing information, aren't you?
Yeah. So a lot of times we get out of talking and referring into it as lead generation, where we'll talk about it more as conversion, where, you know, conversion being, you know, as a developer and as a marketer, you know, the user is taking a specific path and performing a specific act on site that we want them to, whether it's a downloadable PDF or click a contact button or a call, you know, all that's conversion. Conversion looks different all along the way, you know, and not every piece of conversion is a lead, but lead generation is definitely a piece of conversion.
And it's important to remember as well, isn't it? If someone comes to your site and they're not a home seller or an investor looking to engage you as their agent, and you've got no way of collecting their information or nothing to give them that will make them want to give you their information, and they go away, you've pretty much lost the opportunity to communicate with them on an ongoing basis.
And the chance of them coming back to you are probably slim.
Right.
You know, they'll say, why do I have to go back and visit this site? I was there already. They had nothing to offer me. You know, you really have, you know, a split second to capture somebody's attention and to be memorable. You know, in this day and age of, I saw a study a little while ago, how many messages and how many marketing messages do we each see every hour or every 10 minutes or whatnot, you know, and in this day and age when information moves so fast and there's just so much of it, how do you separate yourself from everybody else and remain memorable?
No doubt. And I think that's so important in real estate. Yeah. Well, we had Jay and Erica on the show just a few weeks ago talking about Utility for Real Estate, their new book. And by the way, if you haven't got yourself a copy, go and grab it, please. It is amazing. It's important to remember that in real estate, problem with a lot of agents, the guys were saying, and I agree with them, is that there's no differentiation, right? So everyone in the public's opinion thinks that real estate agents, all of them are the same. Even to have something like a downloadable PDF, like you said, or something to capture the information, that is a point of difference on your site.
Yeah, and then it's a matter of, you know, even if you're collecting email newsletters, what do you do with that? How do you continue to give them information of value so that they stay subscribed? And so, you know, maybe they're not ready to buy a property or a home at this moment, but they're going to remember where they got the best information when they are ready. And that's kind of what you're doing. You know, you're setting up the engagement before the engagement even needs to take place. And that's huge. And a lot of the content marketing that we're talking about and a lot of the social media and all that, it's a very long play. You know, you're not going to see instant return on your investment or your time. And time is money. And, you know, so I consider time an investment. So you're not going to see any of that. So it's so difficult that, you know, to stay the course, right? But I guarantee you, you know, when it comes to, you know, other people like Nick, and even in my own company here, you know, although I'm in a different industry, you know, the longer you stay and you publish content, you know, the more people will remember you. And then when they're looking for information and good information, you know, they're going to come back to you and talk to you.
Right. Well, I think it comes back to what we were saying before about content marketing. Not everyone will be doing it, but everyone successful in business will be doing it.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Whoever said that was a smart guy. Greg, it wasn't me.
Well, Greg, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'm going to throw five quick questions at you and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the 2014 Mobile Behavior Report conducted by Salesforce Marketing Cloud. It found that 27% of consumers will leave a company's website if it is not optimized for mobile devices, which means that over a quarter of your website visitors will leave your site for another if it is not mobile optimized. With the rise of mobile adoption, I think it's a timely reminder to talk to your web developer about making sure that your site has the best user experience possible on all devices. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Greg, we've reached one of my favorite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions, get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Name one person who's been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
I think it would be one of my mentors, Francine Hardaway. She was one of the original VCs in Silicon Valley. And as a female, you know, she's always had to, you know, fight kind of, you know, a rougher road than others, you know, just because of the timing. Francine has given me more wisdom and parting facts, you know, just passing her in the hallway in a very matter of fact way. So Francine is definitely one of the people who have always impacted, you know, my business and my company. Absolutely.
Greg, what is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Favorite thing to do would probably be either playing guitar or running around playing soccer or football, as you, I'm sure you guys call it over there.
No, we still call it soccer.
Oh, you call it soccer? Excellent.
We do. It's the just don't tell someone from the UK that we call it soccer. They get a little bit upset about that.
So definitely playing guitar with friends or playing soccer.
Cool. Greg, what's your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
My favorite business book would probably be The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. Although it's been out for quite a while, it just gave me new perspective on really how little things make a huge difference when it comes to products, services, and relationships.
Cool. What is your favorite technology resource you use to help run a better business daily?
Lately, I've been using Basecamp a whole lot again. I really love using Basecamp for project management.
You actually got me onto that. You actually got me on it when we were working on the Steps website. Right. You got me onto Basecamp, and I've actually recommended that to my clients now. And I cannot tell you the take up here. I should call Basecamp and ask for some royalty checks or something.
But, or at least get an affiliate link or something out of it, right?
It is awesome. Can you break down for everyone listening who don't know what Basecamp is, what it does?
Yeah, so Basecamp's a project management software, and what you can do is you can assign different tasks and different teams, and you can have an ongoing discussion about different topics. So what it does is it eliminates, you know, having that long email thread that you need to go and search for, you know, towards the end of the project. And you can post files to it. It's a repository for everything that entails the project. You can invite there's two different invitations to it. You can invite team members and you can invite clients. So sometimes some dialogue, you know, you want to hide from the client. Sometimes you want to involve them on different things. So you can have that type of control. But Basecamp right now has been one of our best resources to keep us on point.
Yeah, no doubt. And we use it on the mobile, we use it on the desktop, we use it everywhere. It's such an amazing tool. Great suggestion. Greg, what is the best website in real estate you've ever seen?
Well, the best website in real estate I've ever seen, I really like the Zillow sites. I mean, I just like how the technology in Zillow over here in the States works. I'm a fan of the technology. But the best real estate sites that I see are ones that don't even talk about real estate. They're ones that talk about community and how, you know, the community around the homes where they focus all their attention on and, you know, different things going on. So I would say any community-based site.
Right. Well, we'll put the link up for Nick's website on the show notes so people can go check that out.
Nick so many times. I think that he owes me a steak dinner or something.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah, somewhere at one of those restaurants along the rail line.
Exactly.
Yeah, just we'll have to jump on and just check out which are the best ones. You'll have to pick one out.
Absolutely.
I want this one.
Will do.
Greg, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate?
So, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I actually have two. One is from Jay-Z.
Wow. I don't think we've had Jay-Z as a recommendation the show before.
It's a Jay-Z one. And it's, I'm far from a Harvard student. I just had the balls to do it. So what that means is I'm not as smart as everybody else, you know, going to Harvard. I just had the guts to go ahead and do what I thought was right and to do things, you know, to impact, you know, my business. And the second one is definitely the one that we touched on before, that, you know, perfection is the enemy of progress.
Great one. Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Greg has shared with us today by visiting our site that Greg and his team actually built for us at steps.com.au/Greg Taylor. Well, Greg, I'd like to thank you for all of the help you've given us here at Steps, because without you and the team at Marketing Press, we wouldn't have this show or a site at all. So I just wanted to say thank you publicly for all your help.
It's our pleasure. It's been a lot of fun to work with everybody over there.
And on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Marketing Press?
So everybody can go to marketingpress.com. And on Twitter, I am the company is Marketing Press with an underscore at the end of it. And me personally, I am GRTaylor2. That's the number 2.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Greg, and look forward to seeing you in March over in San Diego.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we'd love you to head on over to iTunes right now and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy this week's episode, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve, because at the end of the day, this show was all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.